committee, we're not going to be hearing SJR 6 today. We need to have a companion bill that has a ballot title and an explanation and et cetera, to go with it. So we will have to hold off until that bill is ready to come to you, and then we will be hearing SJR 6. So you're going to have a short meeting, and the temperature of the room probably is going to, you're going to be very glad to have a short meeting. All right, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3091. And I see Director Lane Shetterly here. Would you like to just come forward? Thank you for being here today.
Well, Madam Chair, thank you for the invitation. For the record, my name is Lane Shetterly, not here as director of anything today. In fact, I want to thank you for not inviting me to testify on ballot measure 37. This is sort of a free hour for me. I am here in another capacity, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and that is as a one of Oregon's four delegates to the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws. Just a little bit about that in case you may not know. The National Conference on Uniform State Laws is an organization 116 years old, comprised of members from all 50 states, as well as Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. And their mission in the conference is to promulgate laws that can be distributed nationally for adoption by state legislatures to create a uniform system of state laws that better facilitates interstate commerce and the movement of goods and services across state lines. Oregon has adopted already about 60 uniform acts. The Uniform Commercial Code is probably the most prominent of all the uniform acts, but there are several. And again, as I say, Oregon has already adopted about 60 uniform acts over the years. Just a little bit more on the delegation. I am one of four. We are appointed by the governor. The three other members of the delegation are Carl Bier. Carl is a law professor from the University of Oregon. Donald Joe Willis. Joe is an attorney in private practice in Portland. And Martha Walters. Martha Walters is Justice Martha Walters, a member now of the Oregon Supreme Court. And we're proud of the fact that she will be, starting in January, the president of the National Conference, and in fact, Oregon's first president of the National Conference. So what I have before you today is a bill that was promulgated by the National Conference last summer. In response principally to problems that arose in the wake of Hurricane Katrina and what occurred down in the south, it was seen as a problem that was of significant enough effect to justify a new proposed uniform law. And one of our responsibilities as commissioners, when we assume the role of commissioners, not only to participate in the commission, but also to introduce bills in our home states to present them for legislative consideration. This is the Uniform Emergency Volunteer Healthcare Practitioners Act. In its simplest terms, what it does is create a system whereby Oregon can recognize the licensure and scope of practice of health care providers defined in the bill broadly, even to include funeral, mortuary care, animal care providers as well. And it authorizes the state, in the event of a declaration of emergency, to allow volunteer health care providers come into the state as long as they are on a registry in their state that complies with the registry terms that are in the law to assure their status as being current in their authority to practice in their various areas of health care, to come into the state on a temporary basis and on a regionally defined basis to provide medical and other assistance. Again, as I said, the impetus of the, for this was Hurricane Katrina and what occurred in the South, and the stories, one of which you have attached to the written testimony I have passed out. It's a news report out of Kentucky that really discusses, identifies how a healthcare provider in Kentucky was frustrated in his efforts to provide assistance in Mississippi because of licensing and other regulatory barriers that made it not possible for him to provide the assistance that he was trained to do. This bill is, as I say, intended to try to facilitate that kind of movement of emergency healthcare providers from state to state in times of emergency, retaining state authority, of course, over the practice that occurs inside the borders. I don't have much else to say, Madam Chair, other than that I did want to provide these introductory comments to you, and thank you for the opportunity to do that. I know you have testimony following me from Office of Emergency Preparedness. I think you will hear from them that, in fact, Oregon is further ahead than some states in terms of Oregon's ability already to recognize and authorize these kinds of emergency healthcare practitioners. Madam Chair, I am not the expert in the substance of this bill. I'm here again as commissioner and don't intend and not requesting to be made a part of a work group. If you're going to do something with this in the nature of a work group, I would ask that if you move this with amendments, you kindly keep me apprised of any amendments just so I can let the Home Office know in Chicago. They like to know if any states are amending uniform laws just so they can keep track of how uniform they are. But other than that, I'm happy just to present it to you. I understand that you had some discussions about this issue during the interim, and this was an interest to you, Madam Chair, to have some further discussion about this, and I'm happy to present this bill to you as a forum for those discussions.
I thank you for being here today. We did have some discussions about that in the interim, but we also heard from doctors about that. As to when they got there, they were worried over whether they were covered by their insurance as well. So there were a number of things where you move in during a catastrophe, and in some testimony, perhaps it was yours, that I just read, that he said he couldn't even give somebody a tetanus shot. So that's, you're not much help if you come to help and you are a physician and can't give anybody a shot. So the one thing that I will question some of our other presenters, and that is that we have a bill in, just for the benefit of the committee, that is 2185 committee that is talking about the structure under the Department of Human Services and how that works and so forth. So I don't know if there's any contradiction between House Bill 3091 and House Bill 2185, but we need to know that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'll bet my good friend Katie King and her friends might know a bit more about that bill than I do. I should mention, though, since you mentioned, this bill does not address insurance. This is really licensing and regulatory aspects of emergency health care. It does not address the issues of insurance or liability.
All right. Any questions?
Madam
yes.
Chair.
Senator Marcet.
Do you have a copy of the bill?
I grabbed all my things out of the
Well,
of
when
bill.
You get a copy of the bill, look at line 20. Entity means a person other than an individual. I don't know what that means.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, Representative Senator Morissette, I can help you on that one. Under the law, corporations and other business organizations are persons.
Oh, okay.
So that's
they would be
that. It's a cumbersome way to say it, but that's what it's getting at.
That's what. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
He'd asked me before he asked Lane generally, and so I told him that was probably ghosts.
I think Senator Marcet just went through about a 30-minute dialogue yesterday in his committee
about
on
a person.
Yeah. And the discussion was in depth. You know, you just can get off on these tangents in these bills about two words.
I've seen and, that happen.
You've seen that, you've seen that happen. And yesterday's discussion for 30 minutes with Senator Marcet was a person.
But we haven't resolved that, though. There's going to be an amendment to try to resolve that very thing.
That's right. And we have to have an amendment to declare who a person
business,
is.
Definition Krieger.
So definitions are very important. Representative Krieger.
The testifier testified about redundancy on a bill.
No.
Remember that?
I do. Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, I admit it.
Yeah. Well, now that's interesting. I hadn't heard that story. Oh,
yes. It's a long one.
Well, I can say before you leave the table, I want to tell you, you are missed in this body. I know that we followed Ballot Measure 37, and all of us that have worked with you over in the House have thought about you a lot.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I appreciate your kindness. I will stay for the testimony. I do want to respect the role of the Office of Emergency Preparedness, and it sounds to me from conversation with them that we may be ahead of several states in terms of already what this bill would provide, and if that is the case, I would applaud them for where we are on this, and thank you for the opportunity at least to get this before you.
All right, very good. Well, we'll just call Mr. Ken Murphy up to the table. And Representative Nelson, did
yes,
you want
thank
to ask
you very
some questions?
Much. Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Shetterly, has your hair got a little grayer? you were here in 2001.
Senator, Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, mine has.
I see. I remember how brilliant he was.
You remember how quick he was.
Yes, thank you. Director Shirley, thank you. Good to see you. And, I'm just wondering, do we have to, in order to be prepared for an emergency, do we have to have this agreement signed by Idaho and Washington, and because it says there's only six states that have this, so in order for us to help in other states, what do we do?
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, the answer to that is in terms of our ability as a state to bring practitioners in, which is really our principal interest as a state. The bill defines the registration so that as long as another state does not necessarily have to have adopted this bill, as long as they have a registration system for healthcare practitioners as defined under the bill that meets the standards of a registration system in the bill, then we can give effect to that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We'll call Ken Murphy.
Not funny.
Good afternoon. For the record, Chair Berger and Chair Boone, welcome back, at least by phone, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management. My hair is very gray. And
just since this committee started, right?
On House Bill 3091, I signed up as being neutral because I think it is duplicative of current Oregon law, and Mr. Shatterly was correct. We tried to address some of these issues prior to Hurricane Katrina, and in there, the area that I'm referring to is ORS 401.651 through .667.
Could you go back through that ORS?
Yeah, 401.651 through .667. Because we had addressed some of these issues of registry and those type of things ahead of time. I think in this particular House bill, that it does bring up other issues such as veterinarians and other groups that we need to address. It does not address, as was mentioned, as we had in the interim, with issues of liability. And I also am concerned, and I would defer to my professional colleagues from public health, I don't think it really addresses some of the issues if somebody from out of state had to actually go to one of our hospitals. There's different requirements to be able to practice in certain hospitals. So I think there's some work that needs to be done on this bill. I think, I did an initial comparison just to my statute in ORS 401, and it's repetitive, and I think we've addressed those issues, but we would clearly need to take into account the veterinarians, as I mentioned earlier, and other groups. And I know on a national level, at least in my part of the world of emergency management, through the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which is a compact with every state in the union, which Oregon is part of, as we're trying to address this whole issue of any professional coming to include medical into a state or a territory, having those issues addressed ahead of time. Having said all of that, the bill needs some work because it is duplicative, and I think we need to, scrub it a little bit more, and put some amendments to make it solid before we go any further with that.
Madam?
Yes, Senator Morsett.
Thank you. What do you mean by, doctors not necessarily being able to practice in hospitals? Now, I imagine if they have the credentials, medical credentials, they should be able to practice. Right?
I might defer to my colleagues to help. I hear these stories, and I'm not an expert on it, but, getting into the States, one thing sometimes, and, hospitals have different rules, but I'm not the expert on them. I would defer to them to help me out.
I would ask you what you're suggesting with this House bill. Are you suggesting that we take out the duplications, or simply that we leave in the duplications but add in those things? Veterinarians, we may want to look at liability. Funeral directors was another one that I think would be crucial, actually.
Right. Senator Berger, on this, for sure, two things: to take out the duplication that already duplicates Oregon law, the site, the 401, 6.51 through 667. The second thing I'd recommend is that in current law in ORS that I just cited, it has public health doing this, and this House Bill 3091 has Oregon Emergency Management doing it. And it's not that I don't need any more work, but I think we should keep this in the public health arena and the other agencies that might be responsible, and then go through, like you mentioned, Senator Berger, and make sure that some of these other disciplines, like funeral directors, veterinarians, or maybe other groups that we haven't really thought of. So to take out some duplication and make sure that we've added in groups, and potentially talk about the liability issue. I know we'll get into the conversation of potentially waiting and dealing with other issues. And again, I don't know the current Supreme Court case, Clark versus OHSU, if that would have any bearing, but it's worth looking at.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Yes, Senator Marzette.
Thank you. Mr. Shetterly didn't seem to be wedded to this particular bill as long as we covered all of the instances, and wouldn't it be easier to simply add what we don't have to our statute rather than trying to add stuff to this bill? I mean, I don't know we don't deal with veterinaries, we may not be dealing with funerals, but we deal, I think, adequately, and I remember some of the discussions previously about physicians and so on coming in. I don't know if it's the intent to move this particular bill, or if it would be easier simply to put everything in statute that this bill wants to have in statute, or this association, which might be easier.
Chair Berger and Senator Morsett, I would concur with you. I mean, if we can capture those things in another piece of legislation that's already there, such as House Bill 2370, which is all of ORS 401, moving Oregon Emergency Management to the Military Department, it might be easier to do that.
That's a mighty big bill.
I know.
And
maybe that would muddy the water.
The problem with that, I wouldn't want anything to keep that from moving on. Let me think about that. Yes, Senator George.
Sure. Kim, what I'm worried about is that, this is a bill that's trying to line up uniformity between the states, and that provides an expedited process. I can quickly see that, yes, I'm fine, we'll bring those people in. Is there a danger in losing the uniformity by chopping this thing up? Now, it may be chopped up when it became this bill, do we know, and maybe Director Shetterly can answer, are we looking at something that we want to line up with something other states are doing?
Chair Berger and Senator George, that possibility does exist, but I think if we go through it carefully, because I don't think House Bill 3091 takes into account all of the different people or professional licensees that we should really think about.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors and medical professionals were clearly an item of interest from CNN on down, but I would tell you that there were many others that just didn't get telephone coverage that are just as or TV coverage that are just as important.
Mm-hmm. All right, other questions? All right, I'll call. Is it Mark Stein or Stein? Stein.
Chair Berger, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mark Stein, and I'm the executive director of the Oregon Funeral Directors Association. I heard this mentioned earlier here. I'll spare you my written comments because of the heat, but whether it's this bill or a different bill, we'd like to be included in whatever bill comes forward. So our licensing is not uniform throughout the 50 states, but the skill set involved is essentially the same. And I can tell you that there are similar language being proposed in 39 of the states right now. And in talking with my counterpart in Washington, they just completed language similar to this that would allow us to go to Washington.
Well, you know, when we first started out with this, Mr. Stein, we didn't have anything in law that said anything about how to bury our dead.
Right.
And I think where you have a massive earthquake or something and lots of deceased people, you really want people to be handled with respect. And the trauma is bad enough for the families as it is,
right,
without having professional people to come in. And there is a huge difference in funeral directors in knowing what they're doing and how to do it.
Right.
And so
right,
you're trained, you know what you're doing. All right, questions at all? Yes, Senator Marseille?
You may not know the answer to this. We visited one of the cemeteries in New Orleans where everything is above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Do other places do that? That's because there's a groundwater problem, I guess.
Madam Chair, Senator, that is unique to that part of the country. And lots of people from our profession were down in New Orleans, obviously, and dealt with a lot of that stuff. And, you know, there's some of it still being dealt with.
What kind of damage was done, may I follow?
Sure.
Yeah. The kind of damage that might have been done to the cemeteries where the tombs and the crypts and so on were above ground.
Madam Chair, there was actual caskets that came out of the crypts and came above ground and, you know, floated down rivers and those kind of things, and they had to go through the identification process and all those kind of things. So it's traumatic.
Well, it's below sea level. That's why they
right,
bury them above
yeah,
ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's quite a – that's very common when you grow up, as I did, in Louisiana, too. That's the way that any of the cemeteries in the southern part of the state are, where you go below sea level.
Right.
And they all go the same direction in one town. Independence, in fact, there's an Independence, Oregon, but there's an Independence, Louisiana, and all the graves are – buried in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an interesting, some of it is cultural as well.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you so much for being here
today,
and thank you for your testimony. All right, I'll call Dr. Susan Allen. Welcome, Dr. Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Dr. Susan Allen, the State Public Health Director. And I'm here to address a number of aspects of this bill. And in some ways, it is a welcome opportunity for us to inform you of many activities, actually, that are underway about which you may not be aware. We agree that this is an important issue. And it's something, in fact, that we have taken a good deal of effort with and have considerable progress, not everything in place, but considerable progress on. And as was referenced by Ken Murphy, it's also something that was supported by recently passed legislative language from two sessions ago, which authorized the Department of Human Services and the Public Health Division to create such a registry as is recommended by this bill. We believe that, again, this is an important topic. At this point, we do not identify anything that requires legislative action in order to fully implement what is needed or what is purported by the bill, in addition to the existing statutory language and existing agreements with other states. So we believe that this is important, and in the review that we've done so far, we think we have both the authority and the consistency with our neighboring states and also with the federal plans to be able to avert the kinds of very real potential disasters and concerns that were raised. Let me go through a few of them. One of the things that has helped us make progress with this has also been a priority for the federal government in under one of the two major grants that we receive in the state for health and medical emergency preparedness. Under the HRSA grant, Health Resources Services Administration, which has just recently changed its name. I forgot the new acronym. But we receive a fairly significant amount of money to work closely with the hospitals, healthcare providers, and other systems throughout the state. And the hospitals have been developing individual hospital personnel surge plans, which include looking at how they could bring in or use outside volunteers or other community volunteers. And also, as part of this effort, we are a number of the communities and regions have already created volunteer plans that will be uploaded into a statewide registries that will be uploaded into a statewide registry that we're on the verge of purchasing and having implemented by mid or late summer. So we have at the local and regional level already a significant number of volunteer healthcare registries. These do not currently include veterinarians and funeral home directors and morticians. There's nothing that would prohibit us from adding those. So those, we were sitting here thinking those are important additions. We, within the current scope, both of our plans and of our authority, we would be able to add them without additional statutory requirements. We also have a voluntary agreement with our neighboring states, in particular with Washington State, between the state health commissioner there and us with respect to the health and medical. We operate under a larger interstate compact, the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, or EMAC as it's referred to, which has specific terms for allowing for the deployment of healthcare providers and other emergency providers across states. The issue in Louisiana and in the other states affected during the Gulf, hurricanes actually were not they were not barriers to licensing and to using healthcare providers. They were that many of the providers showed up. There's this term called SUVs, spontaneous unaffiliated volunteers. And that is actually not a good thing because they show up without a structure that they're connected to. So the state of Oregon, for example, sent several teams of healthcare volunteers through an arrangement, an official interstate arrangement and under the EMAC to Louisiana, and they provided significant assistance. They were constituted teams with official authority, connected state to state, and under the larger emergency framework using incident management system, using NIMS, the National Incident Management System, so that they were slotted into existing rules, interstate agreements, and other arrangements, and there were no problems with their being able to go in and do what was needed. The difficulty comes when healthcare providers show up on their own initiative. And frankly, across the country, the effort is to try to discourage that activity because people need to be, as part of the structure, to be effective. They needed to be able to be supported, put where they belong, ensure that they are safe and have food, water, and housing, and so on. So within if volunteers work as is intended by this bill through a structured volunteer registry and a state-to-state agreement, there are fairly few limitations under our current agreements and plans and laws with what we could do. The exception that we are currently working on that was mentioned is working in hospitals. Coming into the state as a physician with appropriate credentials, we could currently authorize them to do community-based activities. Hospitals have their own credentialing processes that are part of their liability and management protection specifically to each hospital. And we actually have activities underway in the state. They're not finished, but we're working with our hospital planning as part of that to identify ways that the credentialing process could also be streamlined so that volunteers that came in, again, through the official channels could also work in hospitals. And that is an issue that we need to attend to that's more procedural than it is legal, actually. And, again, that's something that we're working on.
Dr. Allen, the one thing that I would really hate to see, and that is that we get in a situation where, and I can understand people just volunteering, going out on their own, and that can be disturbing. On the other hand, I would really hate to see us have people show up and say, you know, you don't have the right card, you didn't sign the right thing in government, and we're in a crisis. That would really be unfortunate, and for whatever reason, government loves to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's in fact, they're so good at it that I've tried to think of some use we could use it in some place because it always seems to be in the wrong place. I'm going to call on Representative Shaw.
Madam Chair, do we have a registry for dentists? Is that included in all this?
We have begun working with the dentists. They're not included in all of our registries, but at the state level, we have a medical advisory group that has been actually co-sponsored by the Oregon Dental Association as part of looking at deployment of personnel, medical personnel in an emergency, and they're an active part of our planning. The registry isn't fully created, and at this point, it's looking more at physicians, nurses, and similar healthcare providers, but we're talking with them. And we're also talking with a number of the licensing boards, which is part of the issue, Madam Chair, that you just raised as well, that we need to make sure that what we do is streamlined but still doesn't create undue risks and is not counter to other existing laws relating to licensure and credentialing. And so we're talking to their licensing boards, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I presume you could use the analogy of driver's license. If I go to Louisiana, I drive cars, I use my Oregon driver's license, I'm authorized, I have no problem, provided I don't go over the speed limit, but you can't speed in Louisiana, they just go as fast as they want to go. I thought I was on the Autobahn, and nobody stops you, and the police almost wave at you, but there's nothing wrong with my license. So what can we do that we can have a system where when people have the proper credentials in their own state and they come in during a crisis, that isn't just recognized?
Madam Chair, that is important. I think it is certainly clear that healthcare licensing is much more state-limited, state-constrained in non-emergency situations than driving is. So a physician with a license in this state could only practice in another state that gave reciprocity, and that's very limited and very few. In an emergency, all of the states are looking at these kinds of registries. The national grant that I mentioned that is funding our activities, every single state has, and every single state is creating these registries, with one of the requirements being that they be not interoperable, like we could look at theirs, but interoperable in that we could exchange information freely and that they could support sending people who were appropriately credentialed and did not have invalid licenses to us. So this is all a work in progress, but my key point is that we're well aware and we appreciate the support and the attention that this bill has brought to this issue to reinforce the visibility and that this is a long-term effort. The national structure is also actively creating additional supports. And again, they're in process, but there's a very specific national effort to further simplify and standardize how this would be done. And we have every expectation that Oregon would be right up front participating in that as soon as the standards and the opportunity to participate in that occurs.
And I presume that you've read House Bill 3091 and have looked at it. In your work, there would be some redundancy, but on the other hand, it does clarify quite a number of words and uses and titles, and is rather inclusive. And so, and then we have this other bill that we have before us that you testified on, House Bill 2185. So I'm trying to figure out if we have too many bills going about the same things, and if it shouldn't be all compiled into one bill. I'm sure I have no qualms. I don't know how the committee feels, but I have no qualms about this particular thing being under public health rather than the Oregon Emergency Management. But, of course, you have to work with the Oregon Emergency Management in case of an emergency because they supersede you in the pecking order of things. But as far as this is concerned, but I think that we would have to really take a hard look at this House bill before I would be willing to just say we're going to put it aside.
Madam Chair, I agree that it is very important that we ensure that we continue to have the full authority and attention to doing these activities. This is complementary to House Bill 2185, as you mentioned, which would clarify and strengthen our ability to respond to public health emergencies, and we look forward to bringing that bill back to this committee later. There's nothing inconsistent between the two in some ways, but what is quite inconsistent is what's also inconsistent with our existing state law is putting this under Office of Emergency Management. We operate under the Office of Emergency Management's oversight of the overall state planning process. We are in what's called Emergency Support Function 8, and we understand our place in the structure, right, and would never, that's actually part of my intention of saying I'm troubled by some components of this bill which are actually contrary to the incident management structure. There's a provision in here, for example, that an organization that was using volunteers would deal directly with the Office of Emergency Management. The state plan actually would have them dealing with public health in our responsibility for the Emergency Support Function 8. Definitions that are in here are terms that are either defined also in House Bill 2185, as you referenced, or in existing law. And I did not double-check whether they're consistent or inconsistent, but on the reading I've done, I didn't see any terms that are not addressed somewhere in current law or in the other bill. So the concept is important and supportive. I'm not yet able to identify any authority that we're lacking to do exactly what this bill envisions and what needs to be done.
Representative Boone?
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm still here.
All right. Do you have any questions? You're at a disadvantage not having House Bill 3091 in front of you. But do you have any questions in general of Dr. Allen?
No, so far, no. She's very good at explaining and anticipating any questions I might have had.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Representative Cowan, then Representative Nelson.
Thank you. I guess I just need to understand. Certainly the bill can be amended to put the authority with public health as opposed to Oregon Emergency Management, and I think that's in keeping with the line of what we're doing, but it's not in conflict with your existing authority. I guess I'm curious from your perspective whether we need this bill or whether we need to simply expand some of our other attention to make sure that we include funeral directors and veterinarians.
Madam Chair, Representative Cowan, the current law actually provides us the same abilities as this would envision under public health. So we already have the authority in public health with the previous statutes from two sessions ago to do what this envisions overall. We don't need additional legislative language to add funeral directors and dentists and so on. We just needed the good idea to be brought to our attention, which it has been.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And hello, Madam Chair.
Representative Nelson, how are you?
Great, and we wish you the best. Dr. Allen? Trying to find my notes here. I'm just curious. First of all, may I ask you, what does SUV stand for again?
Spontaneous. Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, spontaneous, unaffiliated volunteers.
Okay. I had uninvited.
That would be overly strong.
That would work, too? Okay. Thank you. I'm just curious because it seems like to me one of the serious issues that would occur in these emergencies is who's the chief, you know, who's the boss. And so I'm trying to find out where would we find this?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, the who's the boss is a very fundamental question that the incident management system helps answer because that is determined at the time of the specific emergency. But with respect to the overall responsibility for health and medical services in an emergency, the national plan, the state plan, and every local plan, every county plan in the state has the health and medical part responsibility is in public health. So that's a standard part. The overall emergency is managed by whoever is the incident commander for the specific emergency.
At the site?
At the time of the event. I could give you some examples if that would help. In my previous life with emergencies, when the Pentagon was hit by an airplane, the incident commander was the assistant fire chief for Arlington County, where I was working at the time as the director of the health department. But the public health department was responsible for that portion of the response. It dealt with the hospitals, with food and water safety, with sanitation for the responders at the site, for ensuring that the smoke was not making people in the larger community sick. So the medical health part of the response fell to public health. The overall incident commander for that, as it should have been, of course, was an assistant fire chief because the primary concern there was managing the fire. If we had a massive earthquake, I would not be the incident commander for the whole event, but I would be responsible for the health and medical part of responding to an earthquake.
Just a quick follow-up.
Please.
Thank you. I guess that issue still sounds a little sort of vague, but anyway, we can get into that at another time, I guess. Since there's so many different rules or laws or procedures involving medical personnel, I recall just this is just an example. We had Mrs. Dr. Bates here who had gone down to Louisiana to help. And one of her problems was that, she said, even though they were working there, this is why I'm wondering who's really the boss, they were unable to give out contraceptives. I mean, this just happened to be one issue. And so my question was, you know, was that in accordance with Louisiana's laws, our procedures? I'm just trying to determine how they determine how you health people are able to work.
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, the issues that arose in Louisiana, people are still sorting out because many of the issues were specific to kind of local circumstances and really did not follow the way the plants are supposed to work. There are many other responses to hurricanes in Florida that have occurred or up through South Carolina, North Carolina, that were also quite devastating, where people came in and they followed the structures and the response plans. And the medical personnel who were invited in, came in, fit into the slot, did not encounter the kinds of questions that arose in Louisiana. So the issue there, I think, was not about what the rules were. It was about not having the processes that got people the information and the authority that was appropriate. That it is a very different circumstance. I have a hard time. There's a method to the way things are done in Oregon that I think does not put us at the same risk for a lot of what happened there.
Senator Morsette.
Thank you. This gets into two issues. One that you mentioned about licensure. Do you ever run into imposters, medical imposters? And there are some horror stories about people who end up doing operations and have absolutely no credentials. Secondly, I think that the public health department should be the one to look at the licensure and qualifications rather than emergency management, simply because the emergency management has no measurement. They're unaware of some of the fine points of credentialing and so on. And that's what I would be concerned about in an emergency, where someone comes along with a black bag and said, I'm a doctor, I'm a surgeon,
but
I can do
that. They stayed at the Holiday Inn Express last night.
And they end up doing all kinds of things that they're not qualified to do it.
Madam Chair, Senator Morissette, actually that's a notorious problem. Emergencies and kind of social chaos. Everyone who wished they had gone to medical school and now would like to practice medicine, it's a very, very common problem. And that does increase the value of having a registry. It also increases the value of working with the existing systems, which credential healthcare providers. And I believe I mentioned that we're working actively with the state licensing boards for the various professions, because they're the ones that know how to determine what a physician or a nurse or a physical therapist or a dentist or funeral director, whether they're qualified or not, and what they're qualified to do. You would not want me doing surgery, I suspect, either. And I would assure you I would not put myself forth as doing that. So we think it's really important, because that is a very common problem, a very real issue that we want to protect people against. So the more we work with other states and have our registries coordinated with them, the better this is going to work for all of us. One of the other limitations in this bill as currently written is it appears to suggest that our registry might contain out-of-state healthcare providers. And because we have to licensure, credentialing information is confidential. The Board of Medicine, Board of Dentistry, whatever, that information is confidential. So we have to develop an agreement with them that for purposes of our registry, they will cooperate with us and help make sure we've got the right information on people. They're being very responsive, so I have no doubt that we're going to be able to get all these agreements. I don't think we could get these same agreements as an Oregon Office of Emergency Management or Public Health Division with the Washington State Board of Nursing or Utah or wherever. But what we will do is have an agreement with their state through EMAC and through the federal arrangements, so their registry and our registry will be able to share information more readily.
Before I go to your next question, in all seriousness, I'd just like to say that Louisiana has a cultural history. Yeah, that was the Louisiana Purchase. Lawyers who practice there study a different form of law than any other law in the country.
The Napoleonic Code.
There is an extremely, in the southern part where you found the hurricane and the disaster of flooding, predominantly Catholic. I think that there's a real cultural thing that you're dealing with there that has to be taken into consideration, because that is a part of the lifeblood of the people who live there. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if my memory serves me correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone up here, I don't believe it was Louisiana that had rules interfering with the distribution of contraceptives. There was an individual who funded with his own money, a rather wealthy individual, I'd imagine, some medical responders, and he made it clear he did not want any of the volunteers he was sending down there providing contraceptives, which, for the life of me, I don't understand, but which leads me to the question. I wouldn't want that to happen here in Oregon. We're beating this. Maybe I'm digressing a little bit, but that does raise a concern for me. I would not like that to happen here.
I believe that was a doctor, actually, from either North or South Carolina that came down and was there with Dr. Holly. Can't think, but she commented on that.
Right, that's right.
And that he simply laid out the order that there would be nothing like that given. So that prompted Representative
from where
Nelson and Representative Shoffler's concern that one individual could come in and make a blanket decision like that.
Well, and Madam Chair, Representative Shoffler, I don't know the particular story, but I could picture it happening. I understand what you're saying. And that's another reason to make sure that anything that we're planning falls under our incident command system, so that what we have, and I will reference back to the House Bill 2185 as well, where it would be clear that the medical guidelines would be set with consistency and appropriate to the needs of the people, and not kind of ad hoc based on individual preferences.
And Madam Chair, I don't want any, thank you, I don't want any spontaneous uninvited moralist descending on my emergency, so I thought I'd just throw that out there.
Yes. Representative Cowan.
Ooh, I wish I hadn't brought that up. It's been hotter here. Hotter.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm not going to get into that conversation. You know, there's no one who wants any more than I to be adequately prepared to respond effectively and efficiently and appropriately in an emergency situation. And I can really appreciate the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws interest in trying to make sure that nationwide we've brought things together, these discussions together, and I think that's sort of the impetus behind House Bill 3091. I also don't want to be enacting unnecessary laws if we've got things that work and that we can add to them or coordinate. I was wondering if we might bring Director Shetterly back to have some conversation about the necessity of this in light of the conversations we've been having with
we
Dr.
can certainly
Allen.
Do that, Representative, not Representative, but Director Shetterly, would you like to join Dr. Allen and be open to a few more questions?
Yeah, please do.
I'm leaning toward a small group working with Dr. Allen and with Ken Murphy. I just want to be sure before we ever leave this, that everything is taken care of. And I'm not sure we can do that as a committee here today, but proceed.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Cowan. It's a good question. You know, in the context of, let's say, a uniform commercial code that governs interstate commerce and sales of goods and services across state lines, that is an area I think where it's critically important to have as uniform a language from one state to the next, so that you have a high degree of confidence and expectation on a transaction by transaction basis as to what the law is going to be from one state to the next. Here, I think you're right that the interest of the conference was to highlight the necessity nationally of making sure that you had systems in place that would facilitate the provision of emergency health care. I think the language is not so critical as the scope and the nature of the issue. And to the extent that, and I agree with you, I know in my own experience how many times we passed laws that really just added to laws that were already on the books and in some cases duplicated, and sometimes that duplication just creates confusion. And I'm not here to recommend that to you. I think it's been a useful discussion, and I've enjoyed listening to it. To the extent that this bill has highlighted areas of the Oregon program that may be advanced to cover some practice areas that may not have been anticipated, is very useful. I am not advocating adopting a law that would duplicate existing law. I don't think that's useful. So to the extent that this is provided to Office of Public Health and Emergency Management and to this committee, areas where we can strengthen the Oregon program, I think it will have served a salutary purpose.
you have any other questions? Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to recall, was it in the House this week, or was it last week, or in this committee, that we passed an intrastate bill that we'd all work together with our emergency plans? I'm just wondering, Representative Shirley, I mean, this would be an interstate emergency program, right? Versus our intra.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, that's correct. This would get at bringing people in from out of state to practice. That is correct.
All right. Other questions? All right. Well, thank you both for
thank
being
you.
Here today.
Appreciate
it has been a good discussion. And
what? Have a question.
Oh, yes.
I just had a quick question. Some of the people were kind of hard to hear, but I think I have an answer. But I think it was Ken Murphy was talking about some duplication. And is that what you're talking about, is having someone check things out so that we don't duplicate other laws already on the
Well, they, yes, and Dr. Allen is actually already working on the licensing and some of the things, the issues that are in here.
Yeah.
What I would like to suggest, Madam Co-Chair, is that we have, when Dr. Allen is added, the funeral directors and some of the things that have been brought to light here, that we convene back with her. You'll be dancing with the tulips by then.
That's right.
And so we will be, I'll ask her to come back and meet with Representative Krieger and Representative Cowan and the two of us and also Ken Murphy. And let's take a look at what you've done, and we'll take a look at this bill. Be sure and just have that discussion so that we feel comfortable that we've covered everything and that Oregon actually has everything that was the intent of 3091 before we, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm just going to close the public hearing today and look forward to getting together with you, Dr. Allen, with the work, and let's see what you've done.
That will be excellent, Madam Chair. We'll double check. We certainly have reviewed this thoroughly, but we will go back and compare the definitions and some of the other questions that were raised.
All right. Very, very, very good. All right. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3091. And if there's no other business to come forward by me, I'll call the meeting adjourned.